Chapter 28.
Now is the time for the faithful to come together. Bring only what you can carry. Bring only who you wish to save.
The Cloister Order. I can tell her you only wear robes, Theo says. I barely hear him over the rushing of blood in my ears, the static threatening to swallow me whole. He hovers by the door to what used to be, and is now again, my room, as if I'll break if he comes too close. Get you out of that?
Please stop talking.
It isn't right. You shouldn't have to.
Stop.
My voice shatters. That must be what finally gets the point across. Theo stares at the rough dormitory carpet so he doesn't have to look at me. I wish I didn't have to look at me either. I wish I didn't have to look at anything. There is a mirror on my desk, and I'm going to shatter it if I spend one more second here. I was supposed to be free of this room, with its blinds that never close all the way, the drawings I did with a stolen pen on the wall above my ugly Spartan bed, with the particle board desk, shitty chair, and cross hanging by the door. I knew it would hurt to come back, but I want to slam my fist into the mirror until pieces of glass jut out of my knuckles. I want to tear myself apart so I don't have to see myself like this. Breathe. Dad told me that I am a man, and nobody can take that from me. I am a man no matter what Mom makes me wear. Besides, guys in the Alk wore skirts and dresses sometimes, and they were still men. It doesn't make me a girl. It doesn't make me a girl. Besides, nobody wears masks inside the walls of New Nazareth, so everyone will see my razor-sharp, jumbled mess of teeth and rotting flesh. I could pull out one of my fingernails and not feel a thing. When people look at me, the first thing they'll think is monster, is seraph, not girl. But I'm wearing the white dress from my engagement ceremony, from my unveiling as Seraph's host. It hugs my waist and lays embroidery across my chest as if demanding that you look. My hair is too long, reaching the nape of my neck, and my name is Esther again. Within the walls of New Nazareth, I am a girl. And God, I don't know if I can do this. I deserve this. I have to repent for the mistakes I've made. I want to destroy everything I see, but it's just easier if I don't fight back. I need to save my strength for the absolution, and I deserve it. Don't I? If it's happening, I must deserve it, right? Repent ye therefore, that your sins may be blotted out.
Just, I say, don't say anything to Mom.
It isn't right, Theo whispers. I love you. No, he doesn't. He burned the Alk. He killed my people. He did this to me. I want to bludgeon his head against the cinder block walls until his skull comes apart in my hands, seeping brain and shards of bone between my fingers. I have to pretend I want to be home. I say,
I love you too.
Since Mom is one of the most important people in New Nazareth, our family's apartment-style dormitory is a decent one. We're in one of the biggest residence halls, closest to the heart of campus, overlooking the courtyard nestled in the middle of our U-shaped building. I even get my own room. That's a blessing, because if this had been Mom and Dad's room too, I wouldn't be able to handle it. I'd keep seeing him over my shoulder. I'd keep screaming for him. This is repentance. Theo presses his face into the crook of my neck and stands there with me until Mom calls from the living room. It's time to go. She may not be the most accepting, Theo reminds me, but she does care about you. I nod like I believe him. We all love you, Theo says, and he holds out a hand for me to take. I accept, and my other hand touches the pocket of my dress, where I've hidden Nick's note. Sister Nelson plays the piano, since Sister Shoemaker, the usual church pianist, sprained a tendon in her wrist while I was gone. Every note rises to the towering ceiling of Kincaid Chapel, twinkling like invisible stars. I wasn't expecting to have a panicked reaction to an instrumental version of When We All Get to Heaven, but here we are. Theo squeezes my hand as I fight to breathe, and Mom smiles as if she can make up for the gory mess of my body, for the whisper of the boy she's tried to erase from me. Kincaid Chapel is the centerpiece of New Nazareth, and it has been kept perfect even through the end of the world. The reception area is full of banners and murals, the sun beams through the glass walls, and there's so many people waiting for us that it feels like coming to the gates all over again. An apprentice reverend has left out a basin of water for us to wash our hands as we enter. Sister May, one of Mom's friends, whispers, "Blessed Seraph," as we pass. The whisper starts a ripple. "Blessed Seraph, blessed Seraph," and Mom beams in the perfection of it all. She's smiling so wide, it shows every tooth, even the ones too far back in her mouth, like her lips are being stretched unnaturally. After so long in the Elk, it's unsettling to see everyone unmasked. They're all barefaced, showing their emotions to the world with nothing to hide them. Their smiles don't look right anymore. Or maybe they've always been this wrong. "This is for you, Esther," Mom murmurs, resting a hand on the back of my neck. I want to grab it and break it. That or tear off the rest of my skin. We're greeted at the sanctuary by Brother Hutch. I stop in the middle of the room, accidentally jerking Theo's arm. Sister Nelson's playing has softened to something light and dainty, but every note still pounds in the back of my head. No, this isn't the Brother Hutch I watched die in the street. This is a relative, his younger brother. "Reverend Mother Woodside," the younger, living Brother Hutch says in greeting. "Brother Claiborne," that's Theo. "Oh, Sister Woodside, I'm so happy to see you've made it home. We prayed every day for your safe return." When I don't respond, Mom pinches the back of my neck, but Brother Hutch continues anyway. "Please, I'm forgetting myself. Let me show you to your seats." The sanctuary is far too big, another belly swallowing me up just like at Reformation. Reverend Brother Ward, one of Mom's closest friends in the clergy, stands at the pulpit, surrounded by curtains the color of fresh blood. Everything else is white, the robes, the hands, the faces. It's wrong. I want to smear everything with dirt and make it right again. Brother Hutch takes us to the front row, where Sister Nelson's playing is so loud I can't make out my own thoughts. Maybe it's better this way. I don't want to think about anything. I just have to make it until tomorrow. This will all end, and I can see my friends again. That's it. That's the plan. That's what Nick promised. Just until tomorrow. All of New Nazareth crams itself into the chapel. Even soldiers on duty lurk near the entrance, guns resting across their backs. Brother Hutch leads Sister Kipling to the seat next to Mom's, but the prophet refuses to make eye contact no matter how hard Mom tries. Sister Nelson moves on to a gentle rendition of "There is a fountain filled with blood." "Lose all their guilty stains, and sinners plunged beneath the flood, lose all their guilty stains." Theo hums along. "Now," Mom murmurs, leaning her head to me. Her gaze doesn't move from the pulpit. "I hope you're prepared for what's coming tomorrow." I nod. Her expression sours. I say, "Yes, Mom. Today is all about how happy we are to have you back," she says. "But tomorrow is when we make things right. I hope you understand that." I remember my first absolution, the day we stepped foot in New Nazareth. My leg starts to shake. I have been out in the world of sin for too long. Theo went out in that world as a servant of God, but me? She knows I would take any opportunity to turn on my faith. It needs to be hammered back into me. I have to be cleansed again. I say, "Yes, Mom." "Good," Mom says. The last note of the song slowly fades out. The doors to the sanctuary close. The only light comes in through the tall, high windows and the lantern set on the stage, the candles flickering on the pulpit. The lack of electricity makes Kincaid Chapel feel like twilight, even at the height of day. Theo sits up straighter and lifts his chin, just like we were all raised to do.
"Good morning, all," Reverend Brother Ward crows. "What a wonderful, glorious day we've had. Oh, what a blessing."
Answering calls ripple through the congregation. I tug at the skirt of my dress to keep it from sticking to my thighs. I have to stop myself from ripping the fabric. I need to feel it tear. I hate it. I hate it.
"I want to begin our worship service by offering a prayer to our Savior, our Lord, because He has answered our prayers."
"Yes!"
someone cries. I want to burrow into the floor and never come up.
"He has brought our blessed seraph back to us. Let us close our eyes and raise our hands."
I squeeze my eyes shut as tight as I can get them and keep my hands clamped in my lap. Block out Mom, Reverend Brother Ward, Theo, and everything else.
"Let us glorify Him in thanks. Thank you, God, for what you have done for us. First you sent your Son to save us, and now this daughter to lead us. We are honored to continue fighting the battle you have ordained for us."
With my eyes closed, I swear I could reach out and touch the red stream flowing through the culling fields. I can smell the bodies of the weak and the failures hanging from the trees. I can hear the rustling of feathers, the scrape of teeth, the wet, heavy breathing of Seraph between Ward's cries. I don't feel God. I don't even feel the peace I used to be able to snatch from the jaws of monsters. Just the culling field and the beast.
"We will continue to do your holy works, follow you in your infinite majesty. Your goodness, your mercy toward us sinners. Those who fight for you, and even in those who have turned from you. In every way, you are glorious and perfect. In Jesus' name, amen. Raise your eyes, faithful, and may we lay our gaze upon the one who will lead us in this struggle."
My eyes snap open.
"Sister Woodside, Blessed Seraph, if you would honor us."
No, 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 no. Mom turns her perfect smile on me. Theo shines as bright as the stars. Go on, he whispers. You can do it.
I...
Go, Mom says. One more day. One more day. My legs shaking, my body turning to rot underneath me. I stand and climb the stairs to the pulpit. Reverend Brother Ward clasps my hands in his. Thank you, Ward murmurs, bringing his face too close to mine. God has brought you back to us, sister. I want to thank you for your bravery, your courage, your sacrifice. You are doing more for this world than you know. I nod, unable to say a word, and he smiles because he thinks I am being modest when in fact I am teetering between terrified and wanting to tear out his fucking throat. Reverend Brother Ward turns back to the congregation, one of my hands still held in his.
When we first began our mission, there were almost 9 billion people on this earth. Can you believe it? Earth, creaking under the weight of 9 billion souls. And as we watched that number climb higher, and we watched plagues sweep over our people, and summers got hotter, and unrest tore societies apart, our leader, High Reverend Father Ian Clevenger, received a message from God. Yes, the chapel cries, for the earth must be liberated of us once again, for the world to be saved, for our souls to be saved, so we can reach the kingdom of heaven. I stare across the congregation at so many people who believe every word of this, who believe the only way forward is slaughter, who want to wring every breath of life from the world and watch every person suffer, who prayed for the creation of me. Our way forward has been returned, Ward says. We will be washed in the blood. We will wash the world in the blood. We will cleanse the world for Christ's coming, and we will help the Lord bring his flock to deliverance. And you, Seraph, you, Sister Woodside, are the one who will lead us. You will lead the flood. You will lead the graces. You will lead God's people. These people have lived their lives for murder. Their singular goal is genocide in the name of salvation, and they will not rest until every human on earth is extinguished. We are nothing but vermin to them. I've watched attempts at reasoning be met with bullets and crucifixion, and now there is nothing else to be done but fight back. The only way to survive is to extinguish them first. Tomorrow. I just have to make it until tomorrow. Theo's father acknowledges him for exactly half a second after service ends, so Theo meekly returns to my mother to ask if he can stay with us. Of course, Theodore, she murmurs. The general disappears into the crowd with his men. I'll make up the couch for you. Thank you, Reverend Mother. We return to the dormitory, dodging people asking for blessings all the way, and Mom sends Theo to wash up for dinner before sitting across from me in the living room. I'm taking up the couch, staring at the empty entertainment center. There used to be a TV there, back when this was still a college dorm. Now, there's a Bible opened to a random verse below a framed photograph of Mom, Dad, and me. It's the one thing we were allowed to keep when we arrived. The two of them are beautiful. Mom in a seafoam green dress. Dad with his grungy band shirt and dress shoes. They're both so young. So untouched by everything. And then me. A newborn thing, cradled in their arms. "You cut your hair," Mom says. I grit my teeth.
"Dad did."
"I loved him as much as you did, Esther." The name sticks like a thorn, digging deeper and deeper.
"You had him killed."
"I know his passing pained you," Mom says with a hint of disgust. "How dare you grieve what was always his to take?" "But you don't need to be cruel. He made a mistake that affected everyone, and what happened was God's will. Do you understand?" I need to pretend I'm happy.
"I understand,"
I whisper. "No matter what, I'm glad you're home." She comes over to press her lips to my temple. "Tomorrow is just the beginning. I hope we can put all this behind us." Theo comes back, even though the food is fresh and greener than anything I've had at the Elk. Potatoes, kale, and hard bread, all grown and made with a new Nazareth. The idea of dinner makes my stomach turn. I shut myself in my room and press my temple against the wall until Theo slips in. "Hey," he murmurs, bringing me out of the groggy mess of my head. I've tried to pray, but nothing's worked. All I can think of is the congregation watching me with awe, wondering when I'll bring hellfire raining down on the heretics. "How are you doing?"
"Fine."
I want to rip out his stomach. It's right there, his guts under a thin layer of cloth and skin. It'd be so simple. Sink my teeth in and take out his intestines like too many worms stuffed into his abdominal cavity.
"Keep the door open or Mom will flip her shit."
"She just left, actually. Said she needed to prepare for tomorrow and I should keep an eye on you." He sits down on the bed beside me. "Told her I could do that. No problem."
"She hates leaving us alone together."
"Well, we are engaged." "Believe me, I haven't forgotten. Must make it a little more palatable. Let's get you out of that dress." I hate the way he says it, but I hate the dress more. So I let him untie the back. He pulls it down and presses a kiss to the side of my neck, right where the rot has started to reach. And I let him because I have to. I let him skim his fingers over me because I have to. I let him push my hair back from my face and hold me at the waist because I have to. He lied to me. Fangs, feathers, and flesh shimmer at the edge of my vision. The red stream blooms on my tongue. But he tries to pull off my underwear, and I make an inhuman noise, my jaw practically unhinging, my too long tongue curling, saliva dripping over my teeth. No, no, he does not get to touch me. He does not get to touch me like that. Theo stumbles back. Eyes wide, hitting the bed.
"Shit,"
he whispers. "I'm sorry, I thought..."
"Don't touch me,"
I snarl.
"Don't you fucking think you can?"
"Is everything okay?"
"Just give me some goddamn robes."
Theo hands me a set of plain civilian clothes and stands a few paces away while I wrap my arms around myself and try to steady my breathing.
"Breathe, Benji. Keep it together."
"I don't see you as a girl," he says, like that's the problem. Like a cis person would ever get it.
"Stop Shut up. I'm sorry.
He's not. Late that night, after Theo has left for the couch and I'm alone, I slip out of bed to the window. I pull Nick's note from the pocket of my dress and smooth it out, pressing down the folded corners, keeping the writing face down. Beside it goes the trans bead lizard, the one he gave me, the one I hid in my pillowcase when we arrived. I turn over the note. There, in his scratchy handwriting, are two words. Squad Calvary. Nick was in Squad Calvary. I wander out to the living room where Theo is sprawled out on the couch. His lips are parted gently in sleep. Nick should have killed him.